back to the Jeff Porcioli from Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the program if you so choose. Still to come, U.S. Senator Katie Britt. That's about an hour from now, so stick around for that. But joining us now, very pleased to have on our next guest, a regular on this program, and we're very grateful for that, Congressman Barry Moore of Alabama's 2nd Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, I am good. Happy Friday to you, sir.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Let's start here. The ATF seems to be they're taking some liberties here with existing law. One of the things is pistol brace rule they want, which comes with some pretty hefty consequences if you're in violation of it. But you're right on top of this. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on here.
Yeah, so the ATF has decided to change a rule on pistol braces and make, we're saying, between at least 10 million to maybe 30 million Americans instant felons on May 31st, you know, facing prison time. And even the director of the ATF would not for sure answer if they were going to start arresting people when Congressman Hill's asking that. Because, Jeff, this pistol brace, this ruling was okay under Obama. It was okay under Trump. And now with the Biden administration and this woke agenda, they're trying to come after law-abiding citizens who bought pistol braces that were originally actually designed by a friend of a veteran who needed some way to stabilize his pistol so he could go to the range and shoot. So it's been an interesting thing. We're trying to push back on that rule, and we had the director of the ATF in this week, grilled him pretty good, and we'll continue to put pressure on. We're going to stop these unelected bureaucrats from trying to make felons out of law-abiding citizens. That's a goal here. And stop them from infringing on that Second Amendment right. You know, they just—it's a slippery slope when they start that, my friend.
Yeah, and you know, it's people don't realize. I mean, this is not an act of Congress here. This is unelected bureaucrats doing stuff like this without any input. And then I guess there was a hearing with the ATF director. It's just so very nonchalant about it, right? Like, yeah. You know, just like, oh, this is no big deal, but it is a big deal.
Yeah, he's a former federal prosecutor and just kind of mealy-mouthed around the answers, never really gave us any answers. But he's, to me, those guys are the epitome. When we say what a swamp creature is, that's what I call a swamp creature. They're bureaucrats. They come in here. They embed themselves into some bureaucracy somewhere, some alphabet agency, if you will, and they begin to make law from behind and underneath the swamp. And it's so frustrating for us. And that's why, you know, look, I have friends that are willing to defund ATF, and I can't say that I wouldn't line up with them right now. You have some law enforcement agencies that appreciate their assistance, but sometimes this abuse of power, whether it's the FBI or the ATF or whoever that may be, the IRS, when they begin to weaponize against law-abiding citizens, it's time that we start pulling back and cutting the umbilical cord, if you will. And you know, I say cut funding where we can, try to limit their ability to certainly make law from rules and not from legislation.
Well, and that's your one recourse here, right? I mean, you could cut their funding, and you know, because Congress is split, and you obviously got Biden in the White House, and he's not going to change anything, do anything to change it. But what you can do is strengthen their funding. So you think that's the way to go here?
Yeah, I think you saw that with the debt ceiling vote, to cut a lot of that funding going forward to limit some of this just woke weaponization of government. And, you know, when I was doing the town halls, if I mentioned this on your show, is a lot of the constituents of the 800,000 or so people that I represent, their fear is of the federal government, where the government starts coming after conservatives or people they disagree with. And so, you know, and they always do it with agencies. We saw the IRS go after the Tea Party, now the ATF, the pistol brace, and the DOJ coming after President Trump. When you start seeing there's a track record, there's a defined line, it's a weaponization process. And so Newt Gingrich told us at Judiciary when he met with us right before we had our first committee hearing, he said, you'll be the most consequential committee in Congress this year. And we're seeing that on a lot of fronts. Jim Jordan's doing a good job, but we're going to try to hold these bureaucrats accountable and we're going to pass some stuff that I think, like you said, the purse strings are the key to this.
Well, let's talk about the purse strings, debt ceiling. You guys are playing the cards first here. with the debt ceiling, but it's hard to know what the Biden administration is going to do. They just kind of refuse to even respond to any of Speaker McCarthy's overtures.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was they were hoping that we would fail to get anything out, and then that would allow a clean debt ceiling increase. And I think that Schumer and Biden were banking on the House not delivering. And the conservative friends that we have that we've met with in House Freedom Caucus on the Senate side, they'll come down and meet with us. They said, please give us some stuff to fight for. So, you know, it was like electing the speaker. There were a lot of negotiations in that process, Jeff, but I think I was so relieved. I mean, we got it out, barely got it out, but we got it out and got it to the Senate. And so we can call this the Schumer shutdown. If they can't deliver on things, that at least it gives conservative members in the Senate some things for the American people to pay attention to, like, hey, the Republicans are going to do away with 87,000 IRS agents. You know, that's a good thing. Hey, they're going to claw back billions of unspent COVID money. Hey, COVID's over, and we're going to stop just mailing these checks in the mail to people. Those kind of things where we can claw back that money and say, do the American people want 87,000 IRS agents, or do they want the Republicans in charge? If nothing else, it gives our conservative friends in the Senate some opportunities to fight, to take the hill, if you will. And not only that, it gives the American people an opportunity to look at 2024, the presidential election down the road, and go, who is really out for the American people? Who's taking care of us?
Well, and like I said, they're not even, the Democrats aren't even negotiating, good faith, bad faith, no faith. They just want what they want. They just want the debt ceiling raised, no questions asked, it seems. And I mean, there's no way. I mean, that seems like such an arrogant position, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, it's much how when they were the one party rule in D.C. before we got the House this time, it was just arrogance, you know, just, oh, by the way, the American people are our subjects and we'll do as we please. And, you know, President Biden really wants to be king. I mean, if he just had his way, he'd just get a clean debt ceiling and do whatever he wants to do. But we're just not going to allow that. We're going to fight every step of the way. The people put us in the majority in the House to do that. I am so pleased that we got something out that I think it's one of the biggest spending cuts in the history of the country. And not to pat ourselves on the back too much, Jeff, because the way spending went out of control with COVID, us just reeling all of that back. I mean, yeah, it's the largest spending cut in the history of the country, but the Democrats want to continue on a path of just running it off the cliff. I mean, man, in the COVID money, $783 million went to federal prisoners, checks to federal prisoners. That kind of just crazy spending that we're all paying the price for in the devaluation of the American dollar and inflation, you know? And so we've got to cut it, dip it in the bud, and give us something, give our Senate something to fight with.
Well, that's the way they see it, though, right? You'll hear a lot of center-left commentators. The points you guys are raising on the Republican side, dropping a bucket in a lot of circumstances that you know, the government spending has gone up so much and the cuts are so small, but they don't respond with anything. They just say, well, we're already here. We should just keep spending at this level because these cuts that Republicans want, they're inconsequential and they hurt a lot of vulnerable people. So let's just keep the spigots flowing. And then that's not, I mean, you know, number one, it's not sustainable from a fiscal standpoint, but number two, I mean, it's having an impact as we see with our economy.
Our economy, and all that from a global perspective, how America is viewed when we print money and the dollars, the reserve currency, as we do that, we're thumbing our nose at our allies and even our geopolitical enemies around the globe going, hey, these guys are printing money that's not backed by anything. And that's why you have these BRICS, you know, China pushing to go away from the dollar. And as if we show some restraint, if we say, hey, we're not going to keep printing money, we're going to start actually managing our budget, trying to do the right thing by the American taxpayer and by the U.S. dollar, then I think it gives us an opportunity down the road to continue to lead around the globe. But the Biden administration, like I said, and the left, they just think that this, you can just continue down this path of runaway spending and there's no wall. But there is a wall, and we've got to put the brakes on before we get to it.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. Congressman, it seems like a lot of shit at the federal level, but looking at what's going on abroad and I guess a couple of things, I mean, kind of not necessarily abroad, but our southern border continues to loom big. Maybe not get as much attention as it has early on, but that and obviously the other hot spots in the world, China, Ukraine, that we're always paying attention to. But it's just not just domestic politics. We still got some serious problems around the globe.
Oh, for sure. And you know, it's on every front, America is losing under Joe Biden's leadership. And whether it's our border, it's our energy policy, it's Ukraine. I mean, everything that this president and his administration and his party touches becomes a disaster for the American people. And so, you know, in the border, like you talk about, Ms. Rawlins, we had a hearing this week in Judiciary about the border. And the U.S. government is trafficking children, making them slaves in this country from other countries. I mean, and when she said that, and I questioned her again, this we're just making the cartel rich and we're enslaving people. And, you know, you hear the left all the time talk about reparations, you know, for slavery from a couple hundred years ago, 100 years ago, whatever. But at the same time, man, we are trafficking children now into slave operations, sex trafficking, all of this stuff that is such an atrocity historically. And here our government under Joe Biden is engaged in that very same thing as we speak, spending taxpayer money that we don't have, and at the same time allowing fentanyl just to pour across the border and poison our own kids. So the government has lost 85,000 children from other countries since we've taken them into our country. We've had 107,000 deaths of people between, 18 to 45 fentanyl deaths. That's the number one killer. And 1,000 of those transients die in the process of just trying to cross the border. I tell everybody, Jeff, a closed border is a compassionate border. There's a way to do this, but we're doing it all wrong, and we really don't have a southern border right now. We don't have operational control.
And here's what the weird thing is, and I watch hours, countless hours of cable news, left of center cable news, as part of my job, and none of these left-wing talking heads or none of these government officials on the left, they don't have a good answer for what's going on at the southern border. They don't really, they'll get into it, but they'll get into it from the straight up political standpoint, and they'll look at polling and whatever, what it means to the next election. But they never acknowledge that there is like a serious, like real human impact, the problem at the southern border. And, you know, it just makes you wonder here, sitting here, this president, I mean, do they just don't even acknowledge that there's something wrong there at times.
It is so cruel what they're doing. And to me, and I say it with the left, Jeff, this is always symbolism over substance. We will be in these hearings, and none of them will go to the border. A few of them live maybe around, I think there's one or two that live along a border somewhere. But when we offer opportunities to go to the border, to Yuma, Arizona, to have hearings, to see what's really going on the U.S. southern border, and to hear the testimonies of people and children and just the fact that they're being lured here and then they're being trafficked, it's just they read some little article that some media-friendly publication has put out, but they don't go to the border and see what we see and understand what we see. And those two little girls that were dropped over the wall, you remember, and it went viral. There was an opening not a half a mile or a mile from where that happened, but the cartel dropped those two little girls over that wall about 14 feet or whatever it was, down a concrete footer, so that the Border Patrol would run down there so they could move their drugs through an opening up the way. It's just symbolism over substance with this crowd. They won't go get the real stories, and that's what's so frustrating to many of us.
I mean, they have no answer. They have almost no position for like what's going on, the status quo, at least publicly. It's confusing, I guess, behind the scenes. What is the end goal here? Just get as many people in under the radar as possible, and then hopefully they're Democrat voters someday. I mean, I don't know what the objective here is. It's always confused me because you have Republicans screaming and shouting bloody murder, but there's no, it's just like, oh, you're just being a Republican. Stop it.
Yeah, Jeff, and you know, you hear that on the Hill, like you'll see that the left up here and the Democrats, they like I said, they got their little talking points, but they're not really plugged in. But when you look at Biden's polling numbers on the border, they're down in the 30%. So as we start to bring attention, whether the left up here wants to admit it or the media wants to admit that there's a problem, the American people realize there's a problem, and that's one of the things that I think is catching the administration. And again, who knows? I mean, you and I can't for the life of us just sitting here looking at this, what is the end goal here? But we don't know. It's intentional, certainly. There are people flooding in here, and then with this title about to expire. I mean, they're just lining up to come here. This Title 42 thing, when it expires, they're just going to pour across. And you would think it is truly an invasion on the southern border. And I know what the end game is, like you said, unless it's just to try to get voters down the road. Who knows? But they'll do anything to keep power, even if that means trafficking children.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's Mayorkas, just whenever he's before Congress, he does that. He will say this, Congressman, it's everything's fine. There's nothing to see here. We got it under control. And he can't believe that. I mean, or does he? Is this his idea of control?
Well, he said it's going according to plan, I think is the words I heard. So maybe there is a plan, like you said, but there's certainly not operational control from a CBP, from a Borders Agent standpoint. Man, our guys on the border are just concierge. We're just taking people when they get here. We're giving them a motion to appear in court. We're giving them taxpayer-funded subsidies and a cell phone. But they're not taking our calls when it's time for court. They are just making a mockery of the system itself, and they're abusing the asylum process.
Congressman, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you've been very good coming on this program. We do appreciate it. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Congressman Barry Moore there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Every gambler knows